Welcome to Deed & B College. Today we're building an old-school Raga vocal layer in Ableton Live 12, with that warm tape-style grit that sits beautifully in Jungle and old-school Deed & B. And straight away, let's set the goal properly. We are not just chopping a vocal and throwing distortion on it. We're designing a usable support layer. Something that lives behind the kick, snare, break, and sub. Something with attitude, movement, and that battered sampled feel, but still clean enough to survive a serious drop. This kind of vocal works as a secondary hook, a call and response accent, an intro tension bid, or a drop embellishment. That's the lane. It should feel like part of the groove system, not a lead singer sitting on top of the tune. Start with the source. This matters more than people think. Pick a phrase that already has rhythm, consonants, and personality. Raga material works best when the voice has hard transients, short shouts, half-sung movement, or words that can be chopped into motifs. Put that into a single audio track and trim it down so you're working with one strong phrase, ideally no longer than 4 bars. What to listen for here is simple. Mute the drums and bass, and ask yourself if the phrase still has internal groove. If it does, you've probably got the right source. If it sounds too polished or too pop, it may fight the vibe later. Next, warp it like sample material, not like a pristine lead vocal. You want it locked to the break, but not flattened. Don't overthink the exact warp mode as much as the result. Place the strongest syllables so they land on snare side accents or just ahead of them. That tiny push can create urgency, or you can sit it slightly behind the beat for a heavier, more dubwise feel. Both are valid. Just choose one vibe early and commit to it. If the vocal timing is messy, slice it smaller instead of forcing one big clip to behave. That's a key old school move. Jungle always respected the chop. Now let's build the first processing chain with stock Ableton tools. Keep it controlled. A good starting order is EQ8, then saturator, then maybe a subtle echo or filter delay if the phrase needs a little tail, and finally utility. Use EQ8 to high pass the vocal somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz so it stays out of the kick and sub zone. If it feels boxy, make a gentle cut in the 250 to 500 Hz range. If it gets harsh, look around 2.5 to 5 kHz and make a sensible cut rather than scooping the life out of it. Then add saturator with around 2 to 6 dB of drive, depending on the source level, and turn on soft clip if the peaks get spiky. With utility, keep the width sensible. If the source is already wide, pull it back closer to mono. Why this works in D&B is because saturation adds density in the low mids, which helps the vocal read on smaller systems, while the high pass keeps it from blurring the sub. Fast music needs every element to earn its space. Now shape the phrase rhythmically. This is where it starts to feel like an instrument instead of a voice. Chop it into short call and response units. Think half beat hits, single word stabs, and short syncopated fragments. Place one hit so it answers the snare, then let the next one fall into the space before the following snare. Give the drums room to breathe. A useful structure is something like this. One short vocal hit on the offbeat, a repeat or variation on beat 4, then a slightly longer word held across a bar line, then a gap. That gap is important. Old school D&B uses silence like a weapon. What to listen for now is whether the vocal feels like it's dancing with the snare. If it's stepping on the break, the problem is usually the phrasing, not the sound. Tighten the placement before you add more processing. From there, create a second character layer. This can be another track or a duplicate chain. Here you've got a choice. One option is tape dub grime. Roll the top end gently with auto filter, maybe around 7 to 10 kHz. Add a subtle echo with low feedback and short delay time. If you want more grain, add a little more saturator or a very light redux. This version feels older, deeper, and more dubwise. The other option is sampled raga attack. Keep more upper mids. Use drum bus lightly if you want more bite and transient focus. Keep the filtering more open so the consonants hit harder. This version feels more immediate and in your face. A nice advanced move is to keep both versions around and use them for different sections. Intro can use the darker dubby pass. First drop can use the more aggressive pass. Second drop can come back with more degradation or a different chop pattern. That gives you contrast without needing a new vocal. Once the musical shape is right, print it to audio. This is a big move. Don't stay married to live processing if the sound depends on specific warp quirks, saturation behavior, or a perfect echo tail. Resampling is part of what creates that sample jungle memory. So print the processed phrase to a new audio track, then consolidate the best bar length sections, trim the silence, clean up any messy overshoots, and keep a few alternatives. Now you can chop it like a drum loop, reverse tiny parts, pitch sections, and automate arrangement changes without the chain shifting under you. And here's where the real old-school character comes in. Instead of endlessly stacking effects, create instability through generations of printing. Make one pass, then resample again after a small tonal move. Even tiny changes in pitch or filtering can make it feel like a worn tape loop rather than a fresh digital vocal. Try this. Duplicate the printed vocal and pitch one layer down by -3 to -5 semitones for weight, or up by +2 to +4 for urgency. Keep that pitched layer quieter, around 8 to 14 dB below the main layer. High pass it more aggressively so it doesn't clog the center. The main hit stays anchored, and the ghost layer becomes color. If both layers are equally loud, it gets messy fast. Now think arrangement. This vocal should earn its keep. Use it in the intro as filtered fragments. Use it in the drop as punctuation. Pull it out for a few bars to reset the energy. Bring it back in the second drop with more damage, a lower ghost, or a reversed pickup. That contrast makes the return feel bigger. A simple arrangement idea would be a filtered intro with vocal tails, then a build with one repeating phrase, then a first drop with short stabs on the last beat of every two bars, then a four-bar gap where the drums breathe, and then a second drop with a darker, more chopped, more degraded version. That's DJ-friendly, and it gives the track a proper storyline. Now, and this is critical, stop checking it in solo and start checking it with the break and bass. That's where the truth is. Listen for whether the vocal masks the snare around 1 to 4 kHz, and whether it creates too much buildup around 200 to 400 Hz. If the snare loses its crack, reduce vocal mids or lower the level a touch. If the sub feels smaller, high pass more aggressively or narrow the layer with utility. What to listen for in context is whether the vocal still feels like a grimy rhythmic sample once the drums and bass are back. If it starts sounding like a lead vocal, it's probably too dominant. If it disappears completely, it's leaning too hard on top-end fizz and needs more mid-range identity. Use automation with restraint. A slow filter open from roughly 500 Hz up to 8 or 12 kHz can work beautifully from intro to drop. A little extra saturator drive during tension moments can lift the energy. A brief bump in echo feedback on the last word of a phrase can create a great transition. But don't automate everything all the time. One or two meaningful changes hit harder than constant movement. And for darker, heavier DNB, remember this. Use the vocal as menace, not melody. One short clipped phrase, repeated with small variations, can hit harder than a full lyrical passage. Silence is powerful too. Pull the vocal out for 2 to 4 bars before the drop comes back. In heavy DNB, absence can be more violent than density. Another useful check is to listen at low volume. If the vocal vanishes completely, it's relying too much on sparkle. If it becomes an annoying honk in the mids, you've pushed the 500 Hz to 2 kHz range too hard. The sweet spot is where the consonants stay readable and the phrase still feels like a sample, even when quiet. So the big takeaway is this: treat the vocal like arrangement material first, sound design second. If it doesn't improve the groove, create tension, or add identity, it's just taking up space. Build one cleaner main pass, one darker degraded pass, and if you can, one version that's a little too far. That last one is often the secret weapon later. Now your challenge is to build a 4-bar ragga vocal loop that works both as a filtered intro and as a full drop accent. Keep the main layer mono or near mono. Use only stock Ableton devices. Make one cleanish version and one degraded version. Print at least one pass to audio, and make sure there's one bar where the vocal completely drops out so the drums can breathe. Loop it with kick, snare, break, and sub. If the snare still punches, the sub stays clear, and the vocal feels like a gritty rhythmic sample instead of a lead singer, you've nailed it. That's the blueprint. Start with a phrase that has attitude, chop it with intention, add warm tape-style grit without wrecking the low end, print early, resample for instability, and place it like part of the drum arrangement. Do that, and you'll get that loved-up, battered, old-school jungle pressure that feels alive on a system. Now go build it, print it, and make it swing.